With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by our partners at Bet River Sportsbook and Underdog Fantasy. Get a 100% deposit match up to $100 using the code FIELD, F-I-E-L-D. Hello and welcome to another episode of the Doster, T.O. and Fanta podcast. It is the DTF podcast. I don't even know what the date is, guys. I don't even know what day it is. This has been a wild March Madness. The first weekend was awesome. Monday might have been even crazier than anything that we saw the first weekend. We're not going to talk about Ed Cooley and Rick Pitino here. Fanta and I did an hour and a half on it last night on After Dark.
Goodman, ain't nobody gives a shit what Terrence has to say.
That's no one important. Cares what Terrence has to. When you come on here with that accent, no one wants to hear about you in the Big East.
Nobody wants to hear you talk about Pitino.
If we have questions about Greensboro, then we'll bring you on. That's where you're the expert, sir. Is that a Batman mug?
You bet your sweet ass it is. I got it from my son. My son gave it to me for, I think, Christmas.
Oh, man. Well, listen, it's 9 a.m. on Tuesday morning. Fanta looks dapper because he is on the way to go to a Rick Pitino press conference. The first sit down, is that right? Are you getting the first sit down with Rick Pitino as the new St. John's head coach? How about that, huh?
Whatever Rick wants. Just we're in Coach Pitino's world here. Okay. It's his world. We just live in it. Yeah. He's New York state of mind. He is taking over New York City.
That is true. All right. So we obviously just had a wild first weekend. 4 days of hoops, wall-to-wall action. I love those first 4 days. By the time it's done, I can like walk out of my office and go outside and breathe fresh air and see the sunlight for the first time in a while. Oh, here we go. Yep. For people listening, Terrence is just ripping his bracket up right now. Fanta, give me your one overarching thought on the first weekend, and then we can kind of move on and put it to bed and look forward to, we got Sweet 16 games, guys. The three of us are going to be in Vegas in 36 hours together. Pray for us, please. We're going to need it. But Fanta, give me your one overarching thought on the first weekend of the tournament.
The gap between the great to the good to even the mid-major, the gap between the good power conference school that was solid but inconsistent at times, and the regular season champion from a mid-major, that gap has never been closer, and it just got confirmed. Mm-hmm. And that this sport is the greatest, and that the NCAA tournament should never be changed. It should never be shifted, because in no other world are you getting FDU over Purdue and Princeton over Arizona. And then Princeton follows up the win over Arizona by just kicking Missouri's behind. I mean, they totally dictated the game. So I think it goes to that. And then the other thing that I take away is, don't base your bracket, as hard as it is, off of conference tournament performance.
Exactly.
Or what a team has done over the last 2 or 3 weeks. Because I felt that we did that, and I'm going to give him his flowers.
Who?
We were reminded this past weekend just how good of a coach Rick Barnes is. Yeah. Yeah. I thought Tennessee, you know, that surprised me. I didn't think that they were capable of beating a red-hot, scalding-hot Duke team. And guess what? They did. Olivier Camwa didn't want to go home. Marquise Noel didn't want to go home. You know, the guys stepped up. If you've got that dude, that's what it takes to win in March Madness. You could have a team that played a really good game, a really clean game, You know, Kennesaw State played well enough to win. And then Colby Jones said, Dudes, step up this time of year. Tyson Walker stepped up for Michigan State. I love seeing that in the tournament because you don't always know where it's going to come from.
T.O.?
Big dudes win. Some of those guys you just mentioned are big dudes. That's one thing. I felt like last year whenever we talked about the NCAA tournament, that was something I mentioned frequently, like the big, strong, physical dude in the tournament wins because it turns into a slugfest. And
explain that because people are going to hear that and think like big guys, big men, Zach Edey.
No, big guards, big like Marquise Noel's. He's a special case. But you look at some of the teams like San Diego State beat Furman and they beat the heck out of Furman. Like they were just bigger, stronger, bullied them. You look at some of the other teams like Houston, they ended up bullying Auburn. You look at Colby Jones, what he did to Terrell Burton and some of those guys, like he was a big, strong, physical dude that plays on the wing. Like he's big for his position. I think that's important to say just because he's not necessarily, you know, 6'10", 6'11", like I think you were insinuating to, Rob, like big wings, big positional size is what wins. And then teams that are willing to get a little – do a little too much. And what I mean by that is like Tennessee, they teeter right on that line of playing really hard and really physical and stepping over the line, which they have a five-man who – I talked to a couple of different coaches like, hey, look, Euros Plavsic – provides a lot of value. He set the tone for that game in the first 2.5 minutes. And he got two fouls in the first 2.5 minutes. He hardly got to play the game. But because he got in there, threw a quick elbow, and then ran from half court to cross body block Kyle Filipowski. And then I have Tennessee fans in my mentions saying, that wasn't dirty. Are you insane? Do you guys watch football? That's a defenseless receiver right there. Like it was like some of these plays you scratch your head, but
that's what he does. That's what he's out there for.
The tone, it set the tone for the rest of the game, and that's a good thing to for Tennessee. That's a good thing for Tennessee.
Yeah, and the other thing is like Chris Mack made this point on Twitter. Like they just call the game different in March. Like you're not going to get those tiki tack right. fouls, the freedom of movement. They're going to let you hand check. They're going to let you chuck cutters.
That's an issue. Mm-hmm. That's an issue. Like. And here's a minor part and we can move on. But like these referees, for the most part, they're from all different referee associations and stuff like that. They've never worked together. Yeah. So like that's like they don't know who's going to swallow their whistle, who's going to continue to call fouls. Like you probably need to get some crews in there that have at least worked together. Like that's kind of it's a hard one because you want to keep it equitable and all that stuff. But like it's tough and it puts the referees in a bad spot.
Yep. Here was my overarching takeaway. Guards win in March. Our own Greg Waddell dug up these stats. Okay. Luka Garza, Kofi Coburn, Zach Edey, Trace Jackson Davis played a combined They played a combined 14 seasons in college. Five times they were named All-Americans. Two times those guys were named National Player of the Year. They won a combined 4 Big Ten regular season and tournament championships. 7 times in the 14 seasons those guys played in college, they were a 4 seed or higher. Do you know how many combined Sweet 16 appearances they made? Combined. One Sweet 16, and that was Zach Edey with Trevion Williams and Jaden Ivey. Guards win in March. Yeah.
How long is it going to be before the Big Ten figures that out?
I mean, look, they don't grow many guards in the Big Ten country, right? Don't you get a bunch of big dudes in there?
Chicago's there.
Yeah.
Chicago's there. Thank God for Tom Izzo. I mean, honestly,
there's athletes in Indiana, believe it or not. Like, you can find some athletes in the state of Indiana.
I was kind of making a joke because of when you think of Big Ten country, you think of what do you think of? Wisconsin?
Robbie Hummel.
Guys. Yeah.
You think Robbie Hummel. Nobody was surprised. Now, see, here's the thing with this. Now it's no longer a talking point. That's the thing. I was talking with people last week on the West Coast covering the tournament and the guys at Fox Sports obviously closely cover the Big Ten. And we were sitting there saying, like, what are you going to do? What do you say at this point? You know what I mean? The Big Ten's been so bad in the NCAA tournament the past couple of years that it's kind of like expected now. They have and to they change
still, they're
that.
Still getting eight teams in.
Yeah, well, the amount of teams you get in is not based off of what you're doing in the tournament. Yeah. But the way that we talk about
it. But it might need to be.
There's a lot of good teams in that league. It's just they don't have a lot of great teams. They don't have teams that can win a national title. They got teams that are good. They don't have teams that are great.
Well, people thought Purdue could. I mean, at the end of the day, if you're a one seed, you should be able to win the national championship. Mm-hmm. and none of us are surprised. I'm just saying now we're at the point where the narrative is so stale that it's like I start hearing somebody say, yeah, the Big Ten, the NCAA tournament. Like, this is going to be – this is like the take that your uncle at Thanksgiving always has every year on, like, the world. And yeah. You've heard it, like, seven Thanksgivings in the world, and you're like – like, Uncle Joe, I heard this like 3 years ago, and you're still on it, man. I know the Big Ten's not good in March. Enough. Let's talk about something else.
That's exactly where I'm at with it. That's exactly where I'm at with it. All right. You want to talk about something else, Fanta? We'll talk about something else. let's dive into the Sweet 16 here. I want to start in the South region. We got one seed Alabama, five seed San Diego State. We got six seed Creighton. We got 15 seed Princeton. T.O., what are you looking for? What do you think the key is? What matchup are you most excited about? Give me your takes on the South region here. Is it Alabama's to lose?
Yeah, it is. I think what I'm going to be looking at, that Alabama-Creighton game is going to be fun. The only big difference is I think Alabama has more depth. If we can get to that game. Like, Princeton's played well. I just don't think – I think the run, I'm not going to say the luck, because Princeton, what they've been doing is not luck.
No, it's not luck.
Like they're very good. I just think their run might be over. Creighton's really good. And that Alabama-San Diego State game is interesting because San Diego State, they don't mind playing fast, but they prefer to stay a little bit slower because they're so big and strong. In Alabama, we all know what they do. Alabama's just so good. Between the talent of the guards – that or the talent of the young players in the older guards, Alabama, man, they just continue to like look great. And they beat, like, they won by what, 21 in the first game, of course, six against a 16 seed, of course, but then turn around and win by 22 over Maryland. And Brandon Miller was just fine. Like, he was just fine. That's how good Alabama is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's how good Alabama is. Alabama's best is better than everybody else's in this field. Mm-hmm. It just is. And Javon Quinterly was on another level on Saturday night against Maryland. He just was. Their guard play, they've got options. The ability of Charles Bediako and Noah Clowney to protect the rim makes it very difficult to get much rhythm on them. I will say this, though. I think that the foregone conclusion is that they're heading to the Final Four. And I understand that. And if you're asking me to make a pick, yeah, I think we all would pick them. But what we saw this past weekend was a Creighton team that can beat Alabama. They can beat Alabama because of the fact that you don't know defensively as an opponent where it's going to come from matching up with Creighton. Ryan Nemhart goes for 30 points against Baylor. I was amazed at how much Creighton dictated the way the game was played. They won that game from start to finish. They built a lead.
Yep.
Baylor like would get within eight. And that was it. Creighton just kept punching back. And then against NC State, I mean, Terquavion Smith, we talked about him all year. Guys, he was awesome. He was awesome for NC State. And Ryan Kalkbrenner had 31. How many times can a team have back-to-back career-high performances by a respective player? It's a different player in the NCAA tournament. That sums up Creighton. And between Baylor Shireman and Trey Alexander, they've got shot makers, tough shot makers, and they do have a rim protector in Kalkbrenner. They're going to need to get the tempo to its liking if they do play Alabama. They can't have Kalkbrenner going up and down and up and down like crazy. But McDermott is a really good half-court coach. I mean, he's really good at executing his stuff. Creighton's never been to a Final Four. let's see if maybe they shock the world this weekend and get there. There's certainly enough talent for them from 1 to 5.
How about this? I got a stat for you, Fanta.
Ooh.
Creighton is the first team to have a different player score more than 30-plus points in each of the first two NCAA tournament games that they played since, do you know who? And you say you cover the Big East.
Villanova.
No, and you say you cover the Big East. Providence in 1997 with Austin Crozier and Derek Brown. And you say you cover the Big East.
Wow, I'm texting Val right now.
John Fanta doesn't do his homework. Take him off the Patino interview.
Yeah, that's a great freaking no.
Yeah,
that's a really good one. Hey, let me ask you this. How many different guys for Creighton this year have gone for 30?
I think just those two.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think.
I feel like Kaluma could have gotten hot one game.
We'll check. I'll find out. Vamp while I look. Vamp while I research.
Yeah, I just – and I also, like, because we hit on everybody here, and I do – look, I'm going to give credit to Brian Dutcher and San Diego State, okay? They came into this year. We thought they could be a top 15 team. That was a real thought. They brought pretty much everybody back. And Jaden Ledee has been fantastic for this team. I thought that over the weekend they got different contributions from people. It's been more than just Matt Bradley, is my point. And I'm amazed. Aguep, the big kid. God, their athleticism on the front line, San Diego State. Holy cow!
Nathan Mensah is a terrific defensive center. Terrific defensive center.
Like Furman could not do anything. Nothing. I just thought T.O., like San Diego State was it was like a heavyweight fight to them.
That's why I'm really worried about this matchup. Like I'm if I'm Alabama, I'm worried about this matchup because I look at what a team full of a bunch of old dudes on Tennessee did to a team of a bunch of freshmen on Duke. They just beat them up physically. It was a different game. You were watching 4th and 5th year seniors go up against 18 and 19 year olds.
And that might be the game to watch, but like, keep in mind too, like the San Diego State's deep. They had 9 guys play at least 16 minutes against Furman. Now I realize it was Furman, but 9 guys play at least 16 minutes.
Yep.
So they're going to be able to keep up with Alabama just from a pace perspective because they're going to have fresher bodies compared to what Alabama's used to playing against, I guess. But golly, like you're right, guys, like so big. And Ledee is massive. Like he has shoulders like they are so big and old and like they're going to be able to figure some things out.
Yeah. 4 of Alabama's key rotation players are freshmen. They have another sophomore in Charles Bediako that's 7 foot, like 225, right? Yeah. And Javon Quinterly is not exactly the biggest guy in the room. So we just lost Fanta. We'll bring Fanta back in. I mean, that's my biggest concern with them. It's just, we lost Fanta. We brought Fanta back. That's the day in the life of living with of working with John Fanta. But that's the thing that I'm most worried about in this matchup for them is that San Diego State can beat them up physically. And if the officials are going to allow them to play and kind of whistle it the way that it's been whistled throughout the first weekend of the tournament, like
it's gotta be tighter.
San Diego State has an advantage there. Now, it may not matter because Alabama is just so ridiculously talented.
Yeah, that's it. That's the problem. And the problem is that San Diego State's half-court offense just is not reliable enough. But
that's right.
Like they're going to need Micah Parrish to hit some shots. It's just they're just not a very good perimeter shooting team. They almost need to take a page out of Tennessee's book and hope that somebody goes off from the perimeter because you got to be able to shoot over that Alabama defense at times. I just as much as they beat Furman, I will say Furman's loss to San Diego State was a reflection of how hard it is to beat Virginia as well. You know, they get past Virginia in miraculous fashion. Let's face it, it was miraculous fashion. But you have to fight Virginia in a war. I think out of all the teams that I would have had Furman face in the second round, the worst option off of the Virginia win was San Diego State. Yeah. Because San Diego State does not show up for a tea party. All right? They show up to kick your ass physically. Alabama's not going to be overwhelmed by that. They just faced the SEC the whole season. Alabama's winning that game.
Yep. Mm-hmm. You guys ever get tired of trying to prove that you won an argument, that your takes weren't hot, they were right? Well, I have an answer to all of your problems. Vaulted is a new sports prediction app that turns your opinions into facts. You can store all of your predictions and hot takes in your vault now and forever. Challenge your friends, keep track of the results, and prove that you are, in fact, the smartest. Vaulted will also be releasing more than 50 pools during the NBA playoffs. So download the app at the link below for your 3-month trial, store your predictions now, and keep them forever. Today's episode is presented by Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play college basketball's Pick'em, where you get real cash prizes simply by picking player stats in this weekend's games. In Pick'em, all you do is pick whether a player will go higher or lower in Underdog's projected totals. That's points, rebounds, whatever. If you're like me and you think Marquise Noel is going to go absolutely nuts this weekend, pick higher on his points projection, throw in a couple of other picks, and if you hit them all, you can win 20 times your money on a single game. Underdog's slick mobile app is easy enough that dummies like Jeff Goodman have even figured it out. So go to underdogfantasy.com or download the app and use the code FIELD, F-I-E-L-D, to get a 100% deposit match up to $100. Get in on the madness now. Guys, bad news. My bracket is busted and has been busted since the first day of the NCAA tournament. But don't worry, because if you're like me, you get a second crack at this. Run Your Pool is hosting a Sweet 16 pool for us. There's $500 in prizes on the line for our Sweet 16 challenge. So you get to compete against me and Fanta and Terrence Oglesby and everybody else on the field of 68 one more time. So make sure to check out Run Your Pool if you need to host any bracket challenge or pool moving forward. They have more than 50 game types for every sport that you can think of, from a traditional bracket pool to things like survivor games to head-to-head games. And my personal favorite, squares. Everybody loves squares when it comes to March and the Super Bowl. The scoring is customizable, and you can tailor your rules to your liking. So make sure you go to play.runyourpool.com/field68. That's F-I-E-L-D 68, and get your picks in before the Sweet 16 tips off. All right. So you got Alabama winning? T.O., you got Alabama winning?
Yeah, I do. Too much. They're just so talented. And the older guards figure it out for them whenever the young guys are getting loose.
All right, and then we have Creighton beating Princeton. Do you guys give Princeton any chance? I give him a decent chance. I think they got a puncher's chance.
Anybody with Tosin Avoma has a chance.
Yeah, he's going to be able to pull Kalkbrenner out. They got size and athleticism. It's going to kind of come down to me whether or not their guards make enough shots, but we'll see. I think Creighton is more versatile defensively than either Missouri or Arizona was. Like, they'll have the four guards. Kalkbrenner can move his feet a little bit. Like, I think this matchup is actually fairly good for Creighton. And not
can we give Caden Pierce his flowers too? Dude had 9 points. That's fine. 16 boards at 6'5".
Yeah, it's amazing.
And like, that was
you love those undersized dudes.
Undersized dudes that just go bored. Like, it's hard to rebound, guys. Like, you got to go get it. You got, like,
no, man. I mean,
it's hard to rebound. Like, I was never a great rebounder. I had a couple of 7 or 8 rebound games, but that's pretty much because they came right in my lap. Like, it's not easy to go get boards among the trees.
Yeah. Those people don't get rebounds, T.O. You let rebounds come to you.
That's right. That's right. You don't chase them. You don't chase them. I mean,
in the words of Greenberg, you can learn something from Colby Jones. Come on, man.
God. Yeah. All right. Alabama against Creighton. Who's making the top four? You still got Alabama?
Yeah.
I feel like if all three of us pick Alabama, that's no fun.
Well,
Creighton gets to their first Final Four. There you go.
Oh, your Big East is showing right now.
Well, I think Alabama should beat them. I think that a lot of people are thinking Creighton can't beat them. Like, folks, do not be surprised.
Creighton at their best can beat anybody. Yeah. Creighton at their best is very, very good. I'm worried about the depth, but whatever.
Can see it.
All right. Yeah. Let's move to the East, to Madison Square Garden, where Marquise Noel is coming home. I said it last night, T.O. I'm getting some Kemba Walker vibes from Marquise Noel. New York City kid, undersized, super quick, putting up big performances. He's from Harlem. He lives and plays in Manhattan, and now he is coming back to the Garden. How about that, Fanta? What a story. Taking on Michigan State, they got their own New York City kid at the point in Tyson Walker. Other side of the bracket, FAU, Tennessee. I want to start with Kansas State and Michigan State. T, I'm going to go to you first on this one. What are you making this matchup? Great guards. This honestly, this might be the most intriguing point guard matchup that we have in the Sweet 16, Tyson Walker against Marquise Noel. I didn't think I'd be saying that 2 months ago, but man, both those kids have been awesome in this tournament.
If you look at the matchup predictor on ESPN, it's 50.3 for Kansas State and 49.7 for Michigan State. Wow. It's going to be, it might be the best game in the Sweet 16, not named UConn or Arkansas. So, like, this, these guys just so incredible. Tyson Walker has turned into a really good player. You remember last year we were talking about, what, does Michigan State have guards? No longer the case. No longer the case. And they've all been there for a while. Jaden Akins has really improved, too. He's kind of the unsung guy. He's done a nice job this year just as far as kind of increasing his role, being a bigger part. Like, but I've said it. I've said this, and I've said it all year. Michigan State is a better version of Michigan State when Joey Hauser plays well, and they're going to need him to play well against this Kansas State team. Really, how do you attack Michigan State? They're going to press you. Noel never gets tired. He plays almost 37 minutes a game, and like, it's going to be a hell of a matchup, guards on guards. I think Kansas State was so funny.
It was so funny watching Kentucky try to, like, all these different ball screen coverages, right? They tried to keep him in the middle of the floor. He got to the side, ball screens. And then they would just, when he had the ball top of the key, they'd send two guys at him, and he'd just dribble around him.
Like, yeah, that was kind of insane to me. That was kind of insane. We used to do a drill like that all the time when I played at Clemson. Like, you would have two players. You'd have two on two teams, the whole team. And then what it would teach you to do is attack the slower footed guy every time. Like, there was such an easy thing to do. Like, I was like, man, I'm not really sure I would have done that after going after such a small, fast person. But they were running out of issues. They were running out of options. Like, it was insane.
Yep. Banta.
So I started to type last night because I was working on a region preview, and I started to type Tennessee wins the East region. And then I thought, what about Kansas State? And guys, I just couldn't do it. I couldn't bet against Tom Izzo. Joey Hauser is the Brady Manick of this NCAA tournament. He stretches the floor for Michigan State. He gives them a different dimension. He's now hitting his shots. He's playing confidently. I almost thought playing Marquette was a good thing for him. He won that redemption game. And Michigan State shut down Tyler Kolek. They held Kolek to just two made field goals on Sunday. So why can't they limit Marquise Noel, who I think's been great, by the way? Kentucky played well enough to win on Sunday. They didn't have the best player on the floor, and it's what led them losing. They were up 60 to 56.
Did you see what Tang said afterwards?
What'd he say?
After the game, he said, just because they're Kentucky now, we got players too. And tonight we had more dudes than them. That's true.
Yeah. And particularly one who, when his team is down 60 to 56, Noel hits a cold blooded three that had a hand in his face off the dribble. That changed it. Once he hit that shot, that was a signal of, yeah, this guy's not losing this game.
Yep.
he's just not losing this game. So they're going to need more of that. But I think that this is a situation where, like, Kansas State really needs Naquan Tomlin to play a big-time game to win this game. Because Tomlin, his athleticism, explosiveness can give Michigan State problems. But if Hauser's knocking down shots – and Walker's in the mode he's been in, and Akins, who's just gotten better and better and better, and Tom Izzo said it. I think the biggest key to this weekend for Michigan State, and Tom Izzo keeps kind of referencing this, what are they getting from Malik Hall? What are they getting from Malik Hall? Because when he gives them something productive, that gives them another layer to the cake as well. Michigan State finds a way. The seventh seed in the East Regional has been very kind. There's history with the seventh seed, especially at the Garden. This has happened here. I believe
last South two times, Carolina, seventh seed has come out coming out of there. It was UConn in 2014 and
South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah.
Yeah, so I like the seven again. I like Michigan State to find a way to beat a Kansas State team that I think is one of the most fun watches in the country.
I'm so torn on that. I'm so torn on that because I would make the argument, my counter would be Kansas State will have the two best players on the floor. Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson will be the two best players on the floor in the game.
Right.
And I just, like I said, I'm getting heavy Kemba Walker vibes from Marquise Noel. He's coming back to the Garden. He's never played in the Garden. He's a kid from Harlem, right? He's coming home. He's going to have like 100 people asking him for tickets, if not more. So, and I don't know about you guys, but a dude whose handle on Twitter is Mr. New York City, I got to figure that when he's coming back to his city to play in the Garden, he's going to show up for that.
You go one of two ways.
Yep. I think he shows up for it. So I'll tell you this. Out of if I circling all the games that I'm excited to see, like I think UCLA Gonzaga is going to be fantastic. I think the battle between Miami and Houston, we'll get into that, is going to be unbelievable. I think Xavier and Texas is going to be really, really good. Arkansas against UConn is probably the most high-level game that we have in this round. I don't know if there's a matchup that I'm like more excited to kind of see how it plays out than Kansas State taking on Michigan State. So for my money, T.O., whoever wins that game is going to win the East region. Because I think Tennessee kind of handles Florida Atlantic. They just have a habit of overpowering these smaller conference schools that just don't have the level of dude. Sure. Where do you stand on this? Can Tennessee get out of the region? Can Florida Atlantic?
Yeah, they can. Tennessee can get out of the region because they're huge. They're physical. You better bring – if Tennessee plays Michigan State, you better bring your hard hat because, like, that game is going to be so physical. And here's the thing, like, I feel like I've harped on it all year. You guys remember at the beginning of the season, I was like, this Tennessee team can make a Final Four because they're so big and so physical. And I got lost on the wrong things. Like, God, they're not scoring. God, they don't have a guy. God, like, but they hang their hat on being this incredibly big, incredibly physical team that shrinks the floor for every opposing offense they play against. Like, sometimes that your strength is enough, and their strength is their strength, right? Their strength is their strength. So for them to be able to, I think they beat the, I don't think they just beat FAU. I think they put two in the hospital. And then, whoever they play next, like, I would rather, no, I mean, I'm saying that facetiously, but like,
No, I don't think you are.
I've been on the Tennessee train. Like, I understand all that. Like,
you got off the Tennessee train. I'm not. No. You got off the Tennessee train. Train. Then you jumped ship. Then you bailed. You bailed on your guys.
I said they couldn't
Tennessee
score.
Guy. You are Tennessee through and through. You and Mike Morrell, and then you bailed on Tennessee. You bailed on the Vols.
Cut him off, Terrence.
Yeah.
Huh?
Come on. You got
off that bandwagon. Terrence.
We're holding you. We're holding your feet to the fire here, T.O. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what it was though? CZ Binance bailed.
They couldn't.
T.O. Never bailed. Is that right?
They had a hard time scoring in February.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Like I
was putting it nicely.
Yeah. But the strength of what they do is what wins in this part of the season.
Yes.
So like, you know, I should have never fallen off. But you know, the offense. The offense there has always been a problem, but for some reason, somebody shows up. If they can get, they just need one guy to explode, and it's going to be able to carry them to 65 points. Like that's the crazy part. If they score 65
that's exactly
points, they're beating everybody.
That's exactly what it is. They need one guy. That's all they need. They need one. They basically need whether it's Vescovy, whether it's Kamwa, whether it's Josiah Jordan James, whether it's your boy Julian Phillips. Like you just. We kind of saw it with Xavier too, right? They had when they needed Jerome Hunter to go for 25, he went for 25 in a game they probably shouldn't have won. So,
right.
I'm kind of there with you. I think that's the region that's the toughest to figure out in terms of who's going to come out, because there's no clear answer. Everybody's got advantages, except for FAU, which probably means FAU's headed to the Final Four. We just got to be ready for that.
Go ahead and cannonball in.
Yep. All right, let's go to the other side of the region, or the other side of the bracket. Let's start with the Midwest. Houston taking on Miami, which is, to me, Fanta, about as fascinating of a matchup as you're going to get. We also have at the bottom of the bracket, Sean Miller taking on Texas and Rodney Terry. Again, just another absolutely fascinating matchup. Where do you stand? Who do you see coming out? Let's start with Xavier in Texas. Let's start there.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, Dylan Dessou is playing as well as anybody right now in this tournament. I mean, he has been fantastic, guys. 45 points combined and 20 rebounds in two tournament games.
Yeah.
He's been nails. And his ability to stretch the floor and take you off the dribble, he's a real matchup problem. So I'm curious to see how Sean Miller matches up defensively in this game, because Texas, they can go smaller, and because that they're more versatile. So how does Jack Nungy fit into that equation, especially on the defensive end of the floor? I think for Xavier, they cannot have Sule Boom continue to be off from the floor. Boom has not shot the ball well at all. You know, the last two games from three, he's like 2 for 11. He has not been good. And they can't continue to have that, or else they will lose to Texas. Against Texas, you can't try to start to get a feel for the game. Like, you can't be like, oh, I'm going to ease my way in. I'll find my shot at some point. No. Against Texas, you've got to come out and do what Xavier did against Pittsburgh on Sunday. That was Xavier at its best. Now, Pittsburgh allowed Xavier to run their stuff. Like, Pittsburgh did not make Xavier uncomfortable at all. Texas is going to make them uncomfortable. What this comes down to for me is, if it's a guards game, which it very much is, this comes down to Texas's guards, what they're able to do, you know, what Marcus Carr is able to do, what Serge Ibaka Rice can do from a scoring perspective off the bench. And on the other side, Xavier, Will Sule Boom, and Kobe Jones. And then I got to tell you, the most underrated piece of this regional the whole thing of the four teams right now is an experienced veteran sharpshooter in Adam Kunkel. Kunkel is hitting major shots for Xavier. Yep. So he can open things up. But this is Texas's physicality. Can Xavier match Texas physically? I don't know about that.
I agree with that. Here's the thing that scares me about this game for Xavier. Pitt played right into their hands. Pitt took bad shots. They didn't move the ball. I mean, they would opt for a tough two as opposed to swing for an open three. And that happened quite a bit. And then what that allowed Xavier to do was get out and run. And if you're going to shoot a layup and if you're going to fall on the ground and not get a foul call, you're screwing the rest of your team. And I know that sounds kind of harsh, but there was a couple of times where a Pitt player would go up for a layup, he'd get knocked on his butt, he would stay down, and then Xavier's gone. Like, you can forget it. Xavier's gone. They're going to be able to score. They move the ball quickly, and they have four or five decision makers on the floor at one time. Here's the problem with that. Texas isn't going to take those same shots. Texas isn't going to let them get out and run. You're going to have to execute much more in the half court as opposed to basically playing against a non-set defense where you can pass, patch, attack, closeouts, things like that. Texas isn't going to let you do that. I think it's going to be tough for Xavier. I think this is a difficult matchup. One, because Texas is physical. They're old. They move the ball and they take good shots. You get down on the other end and, you're going to be playing against a set defense more often than not when you play Texas. That's where I think, like, you're not going to have a 48-point half against Texas. It's just not going to happen. So that's kind of that's where Xavier can run off on a team. That's where I think they're going to have trouble against Rodney Terry and his crew.
Yeah, to me, it just kind of comes down to, as simplistic as this sounds, being good enough defensively, making life hard for Dylan Zissou, and then you need one of Colby Jones or Shuley Boom to have a day. One of them's got to be able to go out and make some stuff happen. So that's
hard to do when they're playing when they're playing on five, though. Like, against Pitt, like, they were scrambling. Pitt was scrambling, so you can't scramble against Xavier. You better have your ducks in a row before you lock down.
That's why Kunkel got so many open looks. What I'm saying is, like, Sully and Colby are going to have to go. They're basically going to have to go win a match. Right? You're going to come down to a situation where it's like, all right, you're at a ball screen. You got to go beat Marcus Carr and Colby Jones. You got to go beat Serge Ibaka Rice off the dribble. I think that's what it comes down to. All right, Houston, Miami, to me, the most – it's not going to get a lot of hype, but I think that this is one of the most fascinating matchups because you have a team that is built on elite guard play and elite bucket getters winning games because they're just going to outscore you. No matter how much you put up, they're going to find a way to get one more point at least against a team built on defense and toughness and physicality and rebounding. They're like complete opposites. Fanta, go ahead. You're bursting at the seams right now to get something out. Go. What do you got to say?
I love this game. I think it has a chance to be the best game of the Sweet 16 slate. I think Miami is going to find a way to win this game.
Ooh, spicy.
I cannot believe I'm saying that.
Go ahead.
I love the way that they are in sync. I love the fact that Nigel Pack can have the 20-plus point game on one night, and on the next, it can be Isaiah Wong. They can play through different hot hands, and they've got several. And Omir, his ability to rebound the ball makes a good offensive team a great offensive team, because he could give them extra opportunities. He wills them physically. And Jordan Miller is Mr. Steady. You can count on him for contributions throughout. He does every little thing for this team. They've got it. They've got the dudes. I thought that I really think that Auburn was giving Houston problems. All right? They were. They were up by 10. Houston put together an amazing second half. Miami is better than Auburn. They have some similarities. Their guards are much better, but stylistically, they can come out and they can give Houston problems if those guards are doing their thing. Now, will Houston be able to impose its will? And will Marcus Sasser keep on willing his team as well and delivering? Yeah, I mean, that could very well happen. And I do think that Jairus Walker's ability to play a great game in this is important, because at the end of the day, Houston having a lottery pick, you can't say enough about what he means, what his presence means, all that. And they just got dudes. They've got – Houston's got dudes between Roberts and Mark and Shedd. Look, I know that. But at a certain point, I've watched Houston a bunch this year. And I'm just worried about them against a team that can score to the ability, that can score like Miami. And when you are then stuck in a half court, if it's not Marcus Sasser, what does Houston look like offensively if the game gets in the last 5 or 6 minutes and it's somewhat close?
Well, here's my biggest concern.
You're asking me who I like.
I was just going to say my biggest concern with Houston here is that I think great offense will beat great defense, right? And I'm not sure if Isaiah Wong makes a move and he's going to hit the shot. Like, you could try to get the contest in, but at the end of the day, he's going to hit that shot if he's going to hit that shot, right? And I think that Miami's got guys that are good enough to be able to beat good defense over and over again. My biggest concern to you is the matchup at the four spot, because Jordan Miller, as good as he is, he's like $195, and he's going to be going up against probably Jairus Walker, who is 5 years younger and maybe five times as muscular. Like, that dude should be a defensive end somewhere. If he's from Texas, I don't know how he got put on a basketball court instead of getting put in pads. But that, right, to me is my concern. It's just the sheer size and physicality of Houston taking over.
Yeah, but there's a relentlessness about Miami too. Mm-hmm. You know, as far as the offensive glass, they had 20 offensive rebounds against Indiana. You're not getting that against Houston. No. So my biggest concern if I'm Miami is you got to hit some first shots, mm-hmm, against Houston, because you're not going to get all those extra opportunities. They got 85 points largely because of the offensive boards. That all being said, Norchad Omier, dude, love him. I love that guy. He's listed at what, 6'8"?
He's listed at 6'7", 248.
Yeah, 6'7", 248. He might be 6'6". They might be generous, and he's just so big and so explosive. But like, I like this game for Miami, believe it or not, because they can score both within an offense where they're moving the basketball, and then if things break down, they have, well, let's see, Pack. I think Miller can create something, maybe not for himself, but he can get in the lane and pitch out, and then Wong, we know what he can do. Like, they have so many different guys that could get hot, and they're deep. Like, Miami has enough guys to compete. You get in foul trouble, if you're Miami, you're still fine. So I think it's an intriguing matchup. Does Miami hit their first shots? Because I don't think you're going to be able to get second shot attempts against Houston. That's the biggest concern, and I think that's the biggest area, if I'm Miami, that I'm worried about.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. I still think Houston finds a way to get it done. You know, this is just what they do. They win games like this in March. There's a reason they went to the Elite Eight last year without Tremont Mark and without Marcus Sasser. There's a reason why they went to the Final Four the year before that. They just find a way to get it done. But it's. I'll tell you this. Miami right now is getting 7.5 points. I think this is going to be.
I couldn't believe that line. I couldn't believe that line. 7.5 points. It's going to be closer than that. Miami might win.
Yeah. So I will be on Miami plus 7.5 there. Yeah. I love Miami on that side. I just think that Houston finds a way to get it done at the end of the day. Can Miami get to a Final Four? Is there anybody in this region that cannot get to a Final Four? Like, it's going to be really hard for Princeton, really hard for FAU. Like, anybody in this region can win two games, right?
I think it's going to be really hard for Xavier. I had to pick out of those four, I would say Xavier. They have the toughest. They have that Texas game is going to be hard for them.
Yeah. Fanta?
All four can do it. All four can do it.
Yeah.
But I do think that the matchups really work out well. Look, if we get Houston and Texas for a spot in the Final Four, that would be insane.
Yes.
Talk about a massive war, Texas supremacy. I would love that. But man, guys, I really feel good about Jim Larrañaga right now. He in the world, we're not talking enough about this. And of course, NIL. It helps that he's at NIL heaven, but in the world of these coaches who are older saying, I'm done, I can't do it anymore, I'm stressed out, I don't want to do it. Jim Larrañaga is aging like an elite level wine. He just keeps on getting better. Nothing slows him down, and he's repping the ACC.
He's the only person doing it right now.
And how about what he said post game? Did you hear him post game? He said, "I told our guys the ACC needs to get represented tonight, and we did." I thought, wow. I thought the Atlantic Coast Conference should send that guy a bonus of some sort or flowers. The fact that he said that on live TV after the game says that's a coach that actually looked out for his league. They did rep it well. I mean, they beat the break.
Either that or he's sick of everybody talking about like just Duke and Carolina when the ACC is down. It's like, oh, you know, the blue bloods stink. No one cares about the ACC. Well, why don't we pay attention to Miami? We're in the ACC too. So, all right, let's go to the West. Let's go to Las Vegas, where all three of us are going to end up being. Let's start with Gonzaga and UCLA. Fanta, you said this the other day. I don't know if T.O. is aware of this. Gonzaga and UCLA will be playing in Las Vegas in the Sweet 16, 17 years to the day of the Gonzaga collapse, the meltdown, Adam Morrison crying on the floor, one of the single most memorable college basketball games that has ever been played. 17 years to the day, we get a rematch. I'm so fired up for this game. Drew Timmy, Jaime Jaquez, Tiger Campbell, Mark Few, Mick Cronin. Does it get better than this, T.O.?
No, it certainly does not. It's going to be a hell of a matchup. It's going to come down to pace. But Drew Timmy against UCLA, the two teams on the West Coast, the entire side of our country. And, yeah, I just like UCLA in this one because of Tiger Campbell, because of Jaime Jaquez. Like, those guys, it's going to come down to pace of play. Can Cronin slow it down? Can Gonzaga speed it up? And when it does slow down, because that's typically what happens, if there's a slow and a fast team, it typically slows to a crawl. Is Timmy going to be able to score 30 and 15 like he did? Because if he did, he's going to give him a chance. If he doesn't, I think it's going to be hard because the elite guard play is not there. They still have very good guards. And at the beginning of the season, they were like, that's the issue with Gonzaga. Now, I don't think it's an issue anymore. They're good. They're just not elite. They're not top five draft picks. They're still very good, though.
Bantha?
I think it's really important on the Gonzaga front that Julian Strother negates what Jaime Jaquez does in this game. They've got to, for Gonzaga's sake, Strother can't have a okay game, like a weak game. He's got to have a great game. And when he's had great games, Gonzaga's won. I mean, he opens up a different dimension alongside Timmy when they're both going and churning things out. I give Rasir Bolden credit. Thought he played his best overall game of the season against TCU. That was an amazing game itself. Mm-hmm. But guys, kind of similar to Kansas State with Noel and Johnson, I'm not betting against Tiger Campbell and Jaime Jaquez. And I think David Singleton, his steady progression is there. I love the way that UCLA plays defense. I think that they can make Gonzaga very uncomfortable. And fellas, I'm excited for this game because we cover the sport nationally, and let's face it, we get a lot of tweets and comments and takes and thoughts that, you know, East Coast bias, East Coast this, East Coast that, whatever. Well, guess what? We will be in the house for this game, and we are going to give it the amount of love that it rightfully deserves. I'm excited to cover this game. I cannot wait to see who wins this game because I think it's going to come down to maybe the last 5 minutes. And you got two guys.
There's no doubt in my mind that it comes down to the last 5 minutes. No doubt in my mind.
No doubt. You got two guys in my mind, in Jaquez and Timmy, that are the two of the faces of the sport. Two great interviews, two great talkers. They're fun. I'm going with Jaquez and UCLA. UCLA, the way that they are playing and winning, Jaquez, I've said this before, Jaquez reminds me of a Villanova player. He is a freaking winner. He is just a winner, but he's put his spin on it at UCLA. Bruins find a way.
I think Jaquez so. And Drew Timmy are the two guys in college basketball that most exemplify college kid. Look at them. You got Jaquez with the shaggy hair all over the place, with the goatee going. Always looks like he just rolled out of bed. Always looks like he probably partakes in the legalized medicinal substances on the West Coast, right? And then you got Drew Timmy, who's got the handlebar mustache, who looks like he's never combed his hair, who shows up to press conferences in like pajama pants while wearing Uggs, right? And who always talks about how much he loves Dos Equis. By the way, did you hear him drop an F-bomb on CBS after they beat TCU?
Yeah, I think it's all great and good, guys, but like, let's clean it up a little bit. Like, I get it. It's happening a little too much.
No.
One slip up's funny. After that, it's like.
Do you think that affects, you know, his next stop, his stock? Are you like Sonny Weaver in Draft Day? Well then, why are you complaining?
I don't know. There's something about it.
Well, fuck you.
Yeah, well, that we're not college kids on CBS. We're not representing anything but this podcast. Man. Right now.
All right. Hold on.
I don't think I've ever said that to you.
No, you haven't.
Reeling us back in.
Arkansas. I'm going to have to threaten to kill Fanta in Vegas.
Arkansas, UConn. A battle that has been raging.
The only one.
Yeah, I know, right?
Oh, yeah. A battle that has been raging on Twitter for the last 48 hours. The UConn Twitter is insane. They've met their match. Arkansas Twitter is on a completely different level. I've seen UConn, the craziest UConn fans have been waving the white flags. Like, it's nuts. It's nuts. It's a crazy battle. I wish I was not stuck in the middle of it. But let's talk about this. T.O., Arkansas.
What are some of the best tweets you've seen?
I cannot repeat them in public.
Dude, the funniest one was whenever there was a Providence fan that was trying to trace back the timeline. I think Field of 68 posted it, and he's like, and then a Georgetown game back guy came back.
Oh, yeah. The guy was like, so he walks through the whole timeline, and the guy's like, can you do the Kennedy assassination next? And then the guy goes, there were two shooters, and then a random fan pops up and goes, that's two more shooters than Georgetown had the last 2 years.
Dude, Twitter's been on fire. Big East Twitter's been on fire lately.
Yeah. All right. So we got about 5 minutes left. Let's break this matchup down. Moss,
5 minutes for the best game.
Yeah. Moss is as good as anybody when it comes to exploiting specific matchups. Dan Hurley is as good as anybody when it comes to getting his team to play his game and when they're better winning those games. Who wins out? How does this thing play out? T.O., what do you got here?
Who does Moss attack?
My guess is what he does is
Caravan.
I don't think you can attack Caravan right now. Caravan has really improved on, like, he went from being like a liability to being a guy that it does not get exploited anymore. He just does not. My guess what they do is they try to force switches and they try to get one of the big guys on one of their smaller guys. And if that doesn't work, then they're going small and they're making Adama Sanogo guard somebody on the perimeter or Donovan Clingan guard somebody on the perimeter. And they're just going to say, if you beat us up inside, we'll try to figure it out.
I just don't know who you attack for UConn. Like, that is so intriguing because Donovan Clingan, even when he gets stuck out on the perimeter, he's so damn big. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how you attack UConn.
Here's the other thing I think they do. I think they ISO Tristan Newton and go at Tristan Newton and see if they can't get him in foul trouble. Because if you get him in foul trouble, then all of a sudden you don't have a guy that can create off the bounce. And the one thing that Arkansas can do defensively is they have enough where if they want to switch everything, they can switch everything and really get out and pressure you.
Right. So, yeah. No, yeah. I elite backcourt versus elite front court. That's what it comes down to for me. And we say guards win. Those guards are young. Like, there's so many good storylines, different ways you can attack. I'm so curious how they're going to go at each other and how they're going to try to attack. UConn, you kind of know what they're going to do. You're going to try to run some offense, get some post touches. You know, you can confuse some younger kids sometimes by running a million staggers and things like that, making them chase through.
Yes.
But I just don't know that you're going to be able to do it. This is going to be a great game. It's going to come down to individual playmaking. Because both teams are going to be really well coached.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's where if UConn wins this game, it's because Jordan Hawkins continues to be the individual who makes the difference on the floor.
Who do you put on him?
I'm thinking Jordan Walsh. Don't you guys think that? I think he's Arkansas's best defender. Don't you want to take away the most lethal of their perimeter presences?
I think that's what I you would do say, too. Walsh.
Yeah, I would do that. I would have Walsh on Hawkins, and then I would have Anthony Black probably running around
with Newton.
Yeah, with Newton. God, those matchups are so good. And then obviously Andre Jackson.
Maybe Walsh goes on Newton.
What I would do is put Walsh on Newton. I think I'd have Devo Davis on Hawkins because I want someone – because he's a little bit shorter, and I think it'd be easier for him to kind of get around those screens. And then I would use Anthony Black to be the guy on Andre Jackson. Just use him as the roamer. Use him as the help guy. Use him as someone like, hey, when they throw this ball over the top to Adama, you have to be there.
I bet the guy they continue to switch off of or they continue to throw different bodies at is Hawkins. Like, I bet they mix and match that one up quite a bit.
You have to. That dude can run 2 miles in like 9 minutes.
Yeah, no.
Nobody in America has the stamina that kid does.
Yep.
It's going to be an amazing game. And Sonogo is on a mission. And this is the best he's played in his career. Yep. This kid is playing on another level. You talk with him. We all have talked with him. I'm so excited for him to be up at the podium all this week because the guy is a great – he's not a good quote. He's a great quote.
Unbelievable quote. And I can tell you right now that entire coaching staff, like one of their biggest concerns this week is like, how do we stop Anthony Black? How do we stop Nick Smith? How do we stop Ricky Council? How do we stop Adama from running his mouth? That's like the checklist of things they're worried about. I love him. I absolutely love him. The one benefit is that he talks so fast and he's got such a thick accent that like maybe 50% of America is going to be able to like pick up what he's putting down, you know, but he's, oh man, he's not afraid to let you know. He works with Hurley. He's not afraid to let you know.
Anybody got a gut feeling that UConn finds a way to win this game?
Yeah,
I do too.
I'm
very cautiously optimistic about this draw. Like at this point, any loss is going to be a loss, but I'm very cautiously optimistic about this matchup. Listen, we're going to have a lot more to talk about when it comes to this. We're going to be breaking all of this down throughout the week. Field of 68 after dark, 11 o'clock every single night. It's going to be a little bit after midnight when we get out to Vegas. We're going to do it after all the games since there's only 4 games a night. So for John Fanta, for Terrence Oglesby, this has been the DTF Podcast. We will see you guys again next week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.